Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Inside information on your teams, honest opinion, and the biggest names in sports. It's time, Las Vegas, for the Playmakers.
On a football Friday, thanks for hanging out with us today as you're driving home or virtual classing or happy houring or wherever it may be. Paul Lyhander here on the west side of the desk and 6.345 feet away socially distant is my sister from another mister, Lindsey Brown.
What is up, Paulito?
Is football Friday. Lots of footballs today. Yeah, well, there's football actually starting right now, which is kind of strange.
Normal time to start the old footy football.
Right, yeah. College football right now. Another college football game tonight. Lots of college football this weekend. NFL football because we didn't have a Thursday night game this week.
That's right, because of all the shuffling due to the Rona.
It threw me off. It actually threw me off last night. Because
no,
I know you hate.
Put
I know
this out there.
You hate.
Stop
I know
it.
You. I know you dislike the Thursday night football. But I was thinking. I was like, wow. Like, what was going on last night? I mean, I watched the Dodgers game, and that was just a travesty, a dumpster fire.
Yeah. So but, maybe that's why you're looking for some Thursday night football because your team was so embarrassed and you had nothing else to do. Yeah. I mean, besides the two kids, maybe of how many suggestions I've made to you about what to watch next
on
Netflix.
I started binge watching some stuff. I've got the Hulu going. I'm watching Speechless, which was a show I got into a couple of years ago.
That sounds familiar.
And then it disappeared. It had Minnie Driver in it. It was about they had
yes.
the son who couldn't speak was in the wheelchair.
Right. Yes, I do remember this.
So I'm digging into season three right now.
Is it good?
I loved it. I loved the first two seasons. No, really. It's incredibly just kind of sarcastically smarmy and funny.
Good.
And so it's right up my alley.
Right.
It's super right up my alley.
I'm finishing Grace and Frankie. I've been binging it all week. And honestly, it's been a real transformative experience so far. Have you watched it before?
I have not.
Oh, you should. Speaking of sarcastic, dry, and witty.
I could add more stuff.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, Paul, if you don't want to watch your Dodgies, there are other options. We don't need to go seeking out Thursday night football because there's nothing else.
I know,
we can something other than the sports.
Yeah, but see, at like 8 o'clock, it was like, okay, now what? Because we're down like 85-1. And
read a book or something.
I've got books to read, too.
Yeah. You have many an option.
Yeah, I have lots of books to read.
But you chose to continually watch your Dodgies get beat up into the late innings last night. It was a rough game.
It was rough.
They had a chance, too, with the bases loaded at what? The bottom of the seventh? Top of the seventh? I don't know if they were the home team or not.
They were the away team.
So it was the top of the seventh.
Yes.
And they left them all out there.
They did, indeed. Will Smith lined
farewell.
A second, and the reliever who was in there was way too pumped about a line out.
Yeah.
You know,
well, I'd be pumped to get out of that situation,
like
wouldn't you?
Fists, and like he pulled confetti out of his jock strap. It was insane.
Oh, whoa. All right, so no emotions for you on Friday. Paul is nothing but business today.
This is how they celebrate.
All right.
Stupid Braves.
Stupid.
Change your name.
Yeah, honestly.
Politically
everybody
incorrect.
Everybody else is.
Atlanta.
I mean, why not? If everybody else is, why wouldn't you take this opportunity to better yourself as
sure.
well? Just saying.
They could be the Atlanta baseball team.
Yes. It has led to success in other places with that.
Yeah,
exactly.
Clearly.
Just ask Dwayne.
Yeah, clearly it has. Who's being shopped, apparently, in terms of being trade bait. That is just odd.
Anytime someone makes a mistake, yep, we're going to send you to a different organization. You're just not worth it at this
point.
Fresh
starts are fantastic.
Fresh start when it's your second year in the league.
Right. Well,
my gosh.
Sometimes Ron Rivera, you know, they call him Riverboat Ron for a reason,
That's
right?
That's true. We'll send you down the river without a paddle.
Exactly.
Exactly.
We'll throw you off the boat.
I would love a riverboat.
Let's get you the five biggest stories of the afternoon.
It's your daily checkdown, powered by Radio.com Sports. Number one.
We're playing fast and loose on this Football Friday. Lots of it coming your way. But we will start with baseball here as the NLCS is going to Game 5 with the Dodgers taking on the Atlanta baseball team. That's just what we're going to go with now. 6:08 first pitch from the bubble. Hopefully it's not as windy as it was last night when the Dodgers got rolled by Atlanta.
It was windy.
It was breezy. It was kite flying weather.
It was windy at tennis this morning. Maybe that's why I played so bad.
It could have been that.
Honestly.
Or you could have had, you know.
It changes in the air, Paul. You don't know.
Your leadoff hitter could have went 0-for-4.
Yeah.
And your number two in the lineup went 0-for-4.
Yeah. Especially after the night that Seager had previously.
Yeah.
It's been a little crazy.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
So, Game 6, Houston and Tampa. That is going to get underway here in a few minutes. That is the ALCS where Tampa leads 3-2. Hopefully, Tampa can take care of the cheaters.
Mm-hmm.
And then tonight, it's the Dodgers and Atlanta. And guess who's taking the mound, Lindsay?
Dusty Tamay-May. And I said to you earlier, Paul, I have faith in the Dodgies. And I didn't even know he was pitching tonight. But with this sign, it is an omen. It is an omen for the Dusty Tamay-May. So, I'm predicting a dub for your Dodgies tonight.
Did you order the code red?
Did you order Code Red? Have you ever had that stuff? That's Mountain Dew, right?
Yeah, Mountain Dew Code Red.
It's drinking straight sugar.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's Mountain Dew.
They put it in Slurpees too.
Really?
Yeah. So
I prefer
if you just
canned
want sugar on top of sugar on top of sugar.
Yeah, that's the only pop I think that I prefer canned out of all the options.
Okay.
Just for your notes.
Right.
For your
right.
notes.
For sure,
yeah.
Listen, when I'm looking for holiday gifts, I'll know what's
Thank
mine.
You.
The Dodgers in Atlanta tonight, 5 o'clock pregame, 6:08 first pitch. You can listen to that live here on CBS Sports Radio, 1140.
Woot, yes. Woot.
Dusty Tamay-May.
Dusty Tamay-May.
Number two.
Nick Saban will not be allowed to coach remotely.
But.
There is a new test of the Alabama coach that showed he is negative for COVID-19. This was announced this afternoon about an hour ago, coming 48 hours after his initial positive test. So there's a possibility that he could coach tomorrow night's home game against Georgia.
Well, I would think they would probably look for another negative test before they send him back out there in his merry way. But can Nick just take, you know, a weekend off and delegate just a smidgen? I get it. It's Alabama football. And he's Nick Saban. And he's taken this pretty seriously throughout the course. At least what's been
he's 68.
Communicated to us. But regardless, this is the guy. The head coach should have more options. He should be able to communicate with the coaches on the sideline during the game, even if he's not there. I'm like, can you just take an afternoon and, again, read a book, go lay in a hammock, maybe go for a picnic, fly a kite. Plenty of options. You're sick, so probably stay at home, maybe fly a virtual kite. But does he not think that there are capable hands to keep that ship the way it's going, which is not exactly a route to success?
No, it's Steve Sarkisian, who is a former head coach at University of Washington.
And was he at USC as well?
Yeah, he was fine.
If he's good enough for USC, I mean, I know they hired Lane Kiffin that one time, but we don't hold that against them.
They can handle him, I suppose.
Don't hold it.
And Norm Chow was there, too.
Yeah.
So Saban's actually negative for the COVID-19. They'll test him tomorrow. He could be coaching again on the sidelines. I don't know where they would put him, though. If I'm the players, I'm the coaches, I kind of, you know what?
Just to be safe.
Right. Can we put you in one of those bubbles like they did at that concert in like, England?
Yeah. Just, like, right out of the page of Jake Gyllenhaal's Bubble Boy, literally, yes. And run it like a giant hamster ball. Would love that. But can you just take a minute and just chill?
But I don't know. It's Nick.
SEC football.
That's right. It's religion. It is religion.
It is.
Yes.
Well,
pray to the Crimson Tide.
Yes.
Number three.
The Golden State Warriors are back in the good graces of bettors. The betting data across all the odds makers suggest right now the Warriors have received more wagers to win next year's NBA Finals than any other team.
So they're getting Klay back, who was out for the entire season.
Klay's got a whole documentary about his recovery.
Oh, excellent. I'm actually really intrigued
by
that.
Yeah, like him. He's like swimming in the ocean.
Because he was an ACL and MCL.
Yeah,
he was
all the tears.
And then we had Steph Curry with the claw, conveniently.
Right, and the bad ankles.
Yes. And then Draymond held down the fort. As he usually does.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's definitely no tampering going on with Giannis. So, like, and plus, Paul, you forgot about this. You forgot about this. God, breaking news. They have Andrew Wiggins.
They do
Could
have
you
Andrew
imagine
Wiggins.
The offense with Andrew Wiggins and Steph Curry and Klay Thompson?
Well,
who says no, Paul?
Don't they have Kevin Durant?
You know what? Kevin has been docked a couple of points. Why? Why? Why has he been docked a couple of points in my book? Because I love Kevin Durant. Been a huge fan of his since he was at Texas.
Because he changed his number.
Correct. He is no longer 35. I don't understand this. I don't understand it.
37% of wagers are coming on the Warriors to take the NBA World Championship next year. The second most are actually...
The Lakers?
The Brooklyn Nets.
Really?
With Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving and Steve Nash, the new head coach.
Did you enjoy the fact that we didn't have any Warriors involvement this year? Was that something that you noticed at all, considering that they have been, you know, in the finals for how many years straight?
I actually don't have a problem with the Golden State Warriors.
I don't either.
I don't. I'm not a big fan. You've heard me say this about Steph Curry's kid crash at press conferences.
Yeah, you hate when kids are cute.
I
hate it.
Listen, we're there to do some work.
You're like, please go back in the corner. Like, face the corner.
Listen, I love my son. I love my daughter. I love them, but they're not coming here to crack the mic.
Noise.
That's not what it is, you know.
Listen,
when I win my EGOT...
Your EGOT?
I will thank them,
yeah.
But they will not be coming
on
stage
with me. At the end, though, as the music is playing and the mic is being ripped away, oh, yeah, the kiddos.
Yes.
Thanks for nothing.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
They'll play me off before I say, and I'd like to thank my...
Right. So, more about how you don't like Riley Curry?
I'm just saying, I don't mind Golden State.
I don't either.
I don't. I mean, I'm good with them. I like the competition. I like the fact that it involves a little bit more small ball than deep post up.
They revolutionized everything.
Brute force inside.
Yeah.
They
changed literally everything. And I'm a little shocked that they're the top betting favorite, but I think it'll be a kind of an easy onboarding for everybody involved because they've all played together for so long.
Yep. The Lakers are the third most wagered, so there's that.
We'll have to ask what LeBron has to say about that. I'm sure he's quite salty.
And then it's the Bucks.
Really?
Followed by kind of the field.
The field. Minnesota Timberwolves are fifth, I'm sure.
They're in the field.
The field. They're at the front of the field. The back of the field?
Are they in the outhouse?
Because sometimes you have to hide from practice.
Listen, they're probably just out in the field picking up rocks. That's all they're doing.
True.
Number four.
All right, so the COVID in the NFL is going to be an ongoing story. We know this, to where everyone's like, well, maybe we should just push the Super Bowl back a few weeks. I don't have a problem with that. The Patriots were told to stay home today. They had some more positive tests. The Patriots, apparently everything is bad in Boston. I don't know what that is. Maybe it's just a Boston thing.
Well, it's kind of normal for Boston.
Just a Boston
thing.
There's
a lot of middle fingers, you know, going on those highways whenever it's a 55. That means 85.
Right.
Okay.
It's not even kilometers.
Yeah, no.
So they're doing... virtual meetings and whatnot. They're supposed to play Denver coming up here, and they're still going to play.
Is Cam back, or is he still out?
Cam is back.
Okay.
Cam returned to practice yesterday, actually.
Well, that's good.
He's back, and so he should play against Denver.
So is their game in question now?
No, not at all.
No,
they're still ready to go.
Are they going to take two planes?
I don't think so. Well, they're at home, so the Patriots are home.
Well, you never know. Foxborough is a little bit of a trek from Boston, to be honest, especially when there's traffic involved.
Sure,
as I said, the highways, the middle fingers.
Right. I'm sure they all could drive.
Distracted.
Right. Go get your pack of Parliaments.
Yeah, Parliaments? Marlboro Reds. More like it.
And in Indianapolis, the Colts are back. They were all negative. They host the Cincinnati Bengals on Sunday.
Yeah, the Colts. One loss, correct? Still?
Yep, just one loss.
Hot start for old man Rivers.
Not doing too
just
bad there.
Just around the river bend.
Yeah, they're not doing too terrible.
Don't bend down.
So they're ready to go in Indianapolis, taking on the Joe Burrow Cincinnati team. Negatives, practice facilities open. So everything's moving forward, except for the fact that we have a doubleheader on Monday night again. Which, again, is
and
weird.
You missed Thursday.
I did
you
miss
Thursday. You were pining for it.
I was. I forgot that yesterday was Thursday. And because remember, we also had Ash the Attorney on.
You're right.
On a Thursday.
You're just discombobulated. So, again, I don't think we need to attribute all of the discombobulation to the lack of Thursday night football. It's a yay.
It still felt weird to me.
It's a yay.
It did.
It's a happy, happy, joy, joy time.
From Boston.
Oh, God.
Number five.
Commercials.
All right. So... while Lindsey cracks open a fresh Sam Adams. If you're wondering why Phil Mickelson isn't playing at Shadow Creek, which is that home of that really weird CJ Cup thing that's going on
out
there.
That's right. The dancing shadows that no one knows what the course looks like.
Right.
Yes.
Phil Mickelson says there's a reason why he's not playing this weekend. It's because he won a couple of years ago in that match challenge.
He's just good.
Yeah.
With the course.
He made so much money last time he was there, he didn't see the benefit of going because he beat Tiger in the...
I love Phil.
In the showdown.
I love Phil because you know he's saying this sarcastically. Like, he is the epitomization of, like, a dad bod personality. And... Yes. Yeah, I could, again, take a page out of Phil's book, Nick Saban. He's taking the weekend off. He says, you know what? I've made too much money. We'll let the other guys play. We'll let them figure it out. We'll see you at the Masters. Yeah. Nick,
well,
there it is.
He is playing in the PGA Tour Champions this weekend.
Oh, so he's playing with the Elders.
Yeah, he's just taking a day off.
Okay.
So, but he's trying to get ready for Augusta.
Do you remember when he got, was it the U.S. Open that he got cut from and then literally the next day went to the senior open event and then won the tournament?
Yeah. And then was like beat the field by like 10. Speaking of the match, which Phil says this is why he's not playing here in Las Vegas, you know, 2 years ago, they're going to do a third match. So remember we had the Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, whatever it was?
Reimagined.
They're going to do another one, the match three, Champions for Change, the day after Thanksgiving.
And it's just me, Phil, and Tiger?
No.
Who is it?
Phil Mickelson.
Okay.
And Peyton Manning, joined by Steph Curry.
Ooh!
And the guy we're going to talk about later.
Well, I won't push you on that, but we know that Steph is a pretty damn good golfer. He gets sponsor exemptions for tournaments all the time.
Yeah.
Like, I'm looking forward to this.
Yes.
Especially after what we had to see from Tom Brady when that started, you know, a few months back. It was not a great day for him.
Curry's playing partner?
Who is it?
Charles Barkley.
Oh, my God.
All the money is going to go...
I'm buying a DVR just for this.
All the proceeds will go to benefit historically black colleges.
Oh, and
they're still trying to figure out the location, so that might not actually be here.
Who cares?
But it could end up on Turner.
It's Charles. Charles is going to show up. Can you imagine the smack? I can. We're going to talk about it later, like you said.
It could
foreshadowing.
It could be pretty amazing. So, yeah, that's the match three that is going to be the day after Thanksgiving, along with many other things. Lots of college
football. No Thursday football day after, though.
No, but there'll be plenty of day of football.
That's true.
On the Thursday, because it's Thanksgiving.
I'm happy for you.
Just excited.
You're excited for the footy football.
Yeah. And it gets me back on schedule, too. It really does.
It's like a month away. That's crazy.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, Halloween's like literally 2 weeks away.
Correct.
I need to go get my costume. Do you have your costume?
I usually just recycle something out of the closet.
Oh, so really getting creative this year.
What do you want me to be? I'm like,
I want you to be the best version of me.
I have face paint. I have face paint.
Okay. Maybe a Smurf? Is there blue?
There's Smurf paint, but I'd be like the weirdest Asian looking Smurf.
Yeah.
Like Asian Smurf.
I love body paint. there was a couple of college costumes that I had body paint on that I for sure, you know, but you're bumping around in people's apartments into the different parties. Streaks were left. Whoops.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, I go all out.
Like X-Men Mystique?
It took me a few days to wash out some of the different colors, just depending on some of them stick in you a little bit easier. They do.
Ew.
It's a good time.
Yeah.
It was worth the pictures and the memes. Or the lack of memes, I should say.
It was. Wow, we're way off base
here. Happens never on Fridays.
There's your check down brought to you by Big Dogs Brewing, bigdogsbrews.com. You can still sign up for their Dogtoberfest, which is a virtual beer experience, which is tomorrow. Check them out, bigdogsbrews.com. Coming up next, why do all the star athletes get all the green Skittles?
You found the Playmakers on CBS Sports Radio 1140.
Paul and Lindsay here on this Friday afternoon. Remember, if you missed any portion of the program here and henceforth, you can use the radio.com rewind feature. It allows you to rewind the last 24 hours of programming on the station. If you missed a cool interview or something from the jungle during Jim Rome show, you can check it out by downloading the radio.com app to your smartphone. It is free through the Google Play Store or iTunes App Store. To favorite us, then search out CBS Sports Radio 1140 and hit the heart in the upper left-hand corner.
Also, Paul, podcasts are available on that app as well, including the nightcap that you and I recorded earlier this week, because a few things have transpired in the NHL and Fairbanks Golden Knights in the last week. Free agency opened up a week ago.
Truth.
Does it feel like a month ago? Because it does for me.
Yeah, it's kind of felt that way. We've been interrupted by baseball, too, so we haven't been able to dig too deep into kind of the shakings and the movings and the goings. And
this is true. But we recorded something on Tuesday after Nate Schmidt was traded. And then last week, I also had a conversation with Mike McKenna leading up to free agency. So if you're missing bits and pieces or you want to go back and, you know, trigger that memory a little bit more, it's all on that radio.com app.
It is the first podcast that you will see after favoriting CBS Sports Radio 1140. It is right there along with Bill Ryder, Jim Rome, Taking and Tierney, and us, the Playmakers. So enjoy that. So Lindsay, let me put a hypothetical out there for you. If you go to, say you're a licensed plumber, okay? Let's just hypothetically say that you're really
making tons of money.
You're really good at plumbing. Yes, plumbers make very good money.
They should. They have to deal with the plumbing.
This is why I've learned how to do plumbing. It's not really the fallback. I just know I can change a toilet in like an hour.
Very versatile.
It's amazing. Wax ring,
you
toilet.
Are amazing.
I've got the tools. Good to go.
Snake, not the snake.
You have to make sure you shut off the water. That's the big key.
I've heard that's important.
That's the big
I've
key.
I've made that mistake before, though.
Not shut off the water?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let's say you're a plumber.
Yep.
And you
expert.
get hired. Well, no, you're not an expert, but you've been around the block. You're a journeyman plumber. You're pretty good at what you do.
Okay.
And you get hired by Joe's Plumbing. And Joe also has two other plumbers in his stead.
Are they good?
One of them's about your equivalent.
Okay.
You know, you're the role player. You go out and you're the toilet guy.
Okay.
You're the toilet guy.
Just trying to see what level of greatness is expected from me.
There's another one that does faucets really well.
Okay.
But then Joe's got a superstar on the team. That's John. And John can do everything. Okay.
Really well.
John can do everything really well. He is like, if it weren't for John, they wouldn't have all the repeat business. They wouldn't have all this business. Like, they would not call Joe's Plumbing ever.
Right.
John is the guy. Like, John could do everything. But you know, you're really good at toilets.
Yep.
And the other dude's really good at faucets.
Mm-hmm.
But John gets to drive the own personal car. He gets free lunches. And he gets to pick and choose his assignments.
And he doesn't have to deal with the crappers.
Do you think that's fair?
I think
he's the best plumber. He could do every one of them. Everything.
I suppose I would ask, what are we going for, fairness, or are we going for what's best for the team?
I'm just saying this is like, what he gets to do.
Okay.
This is what he gets to do.
So he gets differential treatment than I do.
Correct.
Yeah, I'm a little irked by it. I mean, if something is explained to me and I know my role, I mean, I still have that competitive fire because I would, too, would like to have a personal car and not to deal with the crappers and hang out with John. But I it just depends on the situation.
Sure. Well, the Clippers were dealing with something like this.
Really?
Yeah. I equate the Clippers to a really, really weird plumbing business.
Yes.
Just
not quite sure where the leak sprung.
Right. So Doc Rivers is gone, and now we're starting to learn about kind of how that locker room was fractured quite a bit because of how the superstars in that room
changed the dynamic a little bit.
The guys that were able to do it all were getting a little bit of extra kind of, you know, some. I'm going to look away. I'm going to give you all the green Skittles kind of thing.
Right.
And so there's a report out of The Athletic that there were multiple players. This is the problem. Multiple players. And maybe this is why the Doc Rivers is gone. There were multiple players saying that Kawhi Leonard got almost white glove treatment.
Yeah.
Like, while everyone was at the Motel 6, he was in the penthouse of the Bellagio.
Right. We're not just talking about days off that he usually takes because of his knee condition. And we've kind of seen that entire thing take over the NBA in terms of resting players. But we're talking about, like, missing practice time. And we're like, oh, we're fine with this. We're fine with this.
See, I get when players ask out of games. Like, you know what?
Yeah.
I'm gassed. You know what? I took a bad bump or whatever it is. I need a little breather.
Yep.
Whatever.
Self-accountability.
Apparently, Leonard basically just said, this is when I'm coming out, and you're going to pull me out.
Yeah.
If all these reports are true, which I tend to probably lean on the fact that they probably are.
Well, is it, like, we're talking about what? Patrick Beverly, Lou Williams, and how do you, Harold? How do you say his first name? I'm really bad at reading. Is it Montrell?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So Montrell, Harold, they're the names that are associated with this kind of irkedness, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't blame them because if this wasn't really talked about, because there are certain talents and certain people that just have different roles than we all have. I mean, I think that's incredibly evident today of all days. But that includes sports. And so that's why if the team like leadership has a conversation about this and what the roles are and if everybody's on the same page, like I feel like it's fine, but clearly there wasn't that level of communication, of understanding, and that can lead to hurt feelings that just kind of build up game after game, mispractice after mispractice, and you're like, oh, I wonder why they didn't do so well in the bubble.
The weird part about I have with this is that I'm pretty sure that every NBA player watched The Last Dance about Michael Jordan,
yeah,
and how they treated Dennis Rodman. When Rodman got to they just literally let Dennis go. Hey, you know what, Dennis, you got to go to Las Vegas. I need a couple days off. Go.
Yeah.
Go do your thing. And then, you know, whether or not they did have to chase him down out here when he was here and bring him back for practice, but whatever it was. But it was never seen as contentious. It was always seen as like, and then you would
now
see.
Now it is, because we know that they won and they had success. But in the moment.
Correct.
It's different. If they don't win those championships, if Rodman doesn't have the reputation that he had, you know, that he built up with Detroit, and he doesn't have the success, that doesn't fly. You have to have the success to bring with it. If you win, we'll deal with whatever. But right. Guess what?
Rodman had the support of Jordan and Pippen,
exactly,
too. They were good with it. Like, you know what? He's going to play like...
tertiary option.
This is what we get when we get this guy.
Mm-hmm.
But he's going to help us win.
100%.
And they were on board with that. But it feels like, as these reports come out, especially when you talk about Pat Beverly, this guy's like competitor. And
yeah.
Lou Williams can fill the bucket like nobody's business. So when you talk about these guys and they're like, yeah, Kawhi showed up late for, you know, from it because he lived in San Diego, because that's where he grew up and that's where he mm-hmm. played ball. And he would come back for flights to go places and he was never there on time. And
it's not like he's an electric personality. I'm not saying that there's a knock in his kind of just complete stoicism, because it helps in different ways, but it hurts you in different ways too, because first of all, he doesn't have the personality that guys are kind of gravitate to in the locker room. Like, I think last year's championship with the Raptors 100% is very much due to him, but remember how irked everybody was with him in San Antonio and sitting out, and how weird that kind of last few steps of the dance of, well, we say that our doctors say that you're good to go, but you don't think you are, which it's your body, but it just was not handled well. And you're like, this is an organization. You love the Spurs. You know that organization. That is one that knows how to run things and knows what success is and filters the talent through the system. Right.
It's why they, you know, when you mentioned Becky Hammon yesterday to take the job of the Clippers, I internally just kind of went,
why?
Because of the Spurs link. Like, she is so entwined with the Spurs organization.
Oh, you say with Kawhi.
With Kawhi,
sure.
That I'm not sure that relationship would even work if he would even respond to her. And that's why they bring in a Ty Lue in hopes that maybe another,
that's the reason.
A different kind of players mm-hmm. coach can reach into this kind of group and go, yeah, we do it this way because of this. And he's managed larger than life, you know, kind of individuals. And not saying that Doc didn't, because Doc had the big three in Boston.
But all three of those guys were self-starters. And I'm not saying that Kawhi and Paul George aren't, but they're a different type of handling as a player that you're coaching or as a player that you're playing alongside with, because of the personality of Kawhi. And then Paul George is just so hot or cold in big moments and for whatever factors, but that's just what his reputation is. And he's always needed somebody else around him. And it's not like he's reached any like echelon of success, nothing near to what Kawhi has. But that's what I mean. You have to win. And you have to have a certain personality. Like, there's all these different factors that kind of give you leeway when you're a superstar position. And I just don't know if Kawhi, especially that being his first year in the organization, like, I would be at every single game, at every single practice just to show. Like, that was an expectation that we had of myself and my teammates at hockey. Even if you were hurt, unless you had a concussion or something where it was not healthy for you to be in the rink, you were expected to be there and have a role, whether it was video, whether it was helping the trainers out, because it's a team effort. And if you're just like skipping out to go see the fam, like, I get it. There are emergencies and stuff like that, but you're affecting their ability to do their job, right?
Yeah, where Doc Rivers had to be as the coach. And normally when you talk about, I mean, if you run through the NBA lens mm-hmm. and you go literally team by team by team, I think in most cases you will find like one truly outspoken player that everyone will gravitate to and go, yeah, that's my guy.
Yeah.
That's the guy that's going to speak for us when it's not the head coach. There are very, very
100%.
Few. Very,
a captain.
Very few head coaches out there command that kind of like, mm-hmm. you know, I think if we go back to the Spurs, Greg Popovich kind of has that, you know, But he's always had, you know, leaders in the locker room.
Right. And they feed off one another.
And when I look at the Clippers, and now that, you know, we're all kind of past the bubble and we've moved on to the offseason here, when you look at the Clippers, you know, who is the most outspoken person on that team?
Doc.
Correct. And I'm not sure that works when you've got a couple of guys who've been anointed superstars who are like, yeah, we let their actions,
not in that uniform.
We let their actions speak. Mm-hmm. We let their play speak for themselves. I'm like, right. I'm not sure that really works when you've got 12 different guys. And, you know, let's be honest, maybe a core of like 8 guys.
Yeah.
You know, who are going to battle every night on a consistent basis with consistent minutes. And they're all having to go back to the head coach. And I'm not saying that it's not the head coach's job, but the head coach in the NBA, that role has changed so much.
100%. It's so much more of a cheerleading position, just managing, like, just emotions and making sure that everybody knows what their role is and knows what the communication is and all. And that's why, like, it's so weird because all of these problems in terms of the voice, the leadership, the coach can't just like say, that's you, Paul, you're going to be our leader. You're going to be our vocal leader. That is chosen by the people in the locker room. And so to have that given to the brand new guys in town, which happens a lot more often than not these days in the NBA, but it's the personality. It's the fact that you're not showing up every day. You're not putting in the work and you're not having the success. The Clippers weren't that good of a team for most of the season. They were trying to figure things out. Like, I don't expect teams to, even if they bring in the most superstar players, people click right away. Like, we learned that with the Heat, their first iteration through, and they lost to the Mavericks in the finals. Like, and they had way better talent on that team than they do on the Clippers right now. But I expect the price to be paid. If I'm in that locker room, or if I'm a fan, and I'm just not sure if Kawhi's ever had to be the guy, or at least has had success with being considered the guy, because once he was the guy in San Antonio, didn't really work out so well, did it? And then he was in Toronto. Well, they already had 90% of their team installed that had been playing together for so long. And you had veterans like Marc Gasol, who, again, coming from a small market team that knows how to buy in and what that kind of mold as a locker room, what it needs to be. And then we're here now in LA. So I'm like, I don't know if Kawhi's ever had to be a leader. I don't know if Kawhi ever has wanted to take up that mantle. But guess what? If you chose LA Clippers, and it's the same thing that Paul George, he wasn't really that he didn't take a step in Indiana, and then he didn't really do that much with Russell Westbrook, did he? When he was in Oklahoma City?
Deal away their leaders.
That's what I mean. And
the Clippers
and
have done a good job of dealing their leaders away.
Exactly. And that's why when they chose L.A. and they were clearing all this space, I'm like, I get it. You want to go play in L.A. and you want to go play for the Clippers. But I'm like, they just traded away Blake Griffin and all these other pieces. I'm like, those are the pieces you need to stay and take less money because they're older or because it's a different role. And that's just kind of the difference between teams like the Clippers and teams like the Lakers or like the Heat or whatever. There's just a different understanding and level of buy-in. And that translates to your level of success.
In 2020, 2021, hopefully that Leonard and Paul George and Ty Lue figures out a way how to distribute all the green Skittles.
Yeah. Ty Lue needs to inspire some emotion from these guys. He does. And he didn't have to do that with LeBron. Because he's not, because Kawhi is Kawhi and everybody's their own person. But they need to figure out a way to make Kawhi a bigger beacon, a bigger self-starter. I don't know, more batteries, I suppose.
We'll see. Yeah, just a weird deal with the more the stories coming out of Clipperland, mm-hmm. starting to learn why Doc Rivers may not have been the best fit for that team moving forward. All right, coming up next, Rex Chapman asked a question on Twitter, and we will attempt to answer it next.
You found the Playmakers on CBS Sports Radio 1140.
Paul Lyhander, she's Lindsey Brown, and we are hanging out with you on this Friday afternoon.
Happiest of Fridays, friends. We made it, Paul. We made it through another week. It's been tough for us.
No doubt. Solid weekend coming up for you here, depending on what happens tonight with the Dodgers. They will play again tomorrow. It also depends on what's happening in the ALCS as well. So game 6, that is underway between the Houston Astros and the Tampa Rays.
So a riveting game that's on there. It's a lot to talk about.
Pitching duel in the second inning. Blake Snell has the start for the Rays, who said before the season, I'm not going to take a pay cut to play.
Oh.
And and everyone said, dude,
works.
Yeah, I know. So he's
the plot thickens.
He's out there playing. So we'll keep tabs on this game as well. And hopefully the Dodgers can get a win tonight, extend the NLCS for sure. Those of you who put bets on the SMU Tulane game, SMU's leading 10-7. That's in the first quarter.
Do you have some of your wealth riding on that game?
No, I forgot.
No,
actually.
Oh my God. How?
I forgot.
You have like 10 alarms set.
I just forgot.
You're going to have to get your quota up. That's all I got to say.
I just legitimately forgot. I'll bet on that BYU game tonight.
Oh, I'm sure you will.
BYU Houston tonight.
Is it in at BYU or in Houston?
Oh, I can't remember. I think
ask Mother Google, but your wealth should probably know.
I think that one's actually in Houston.
Huh?
I don't think they're playing at
home. Bring the fiddles.
Yeah,
excellent.
Houston, yeah.
Riveting college football on the slate, along with this great ALCS. And if the Astros come out, it is dead to us. I am sore today.
Right. So earlier today, Rex Chapman, the man of many memes and videos.
Close personal friend of the program.
Yeah, he just lives on videos these days. Just put out a regular question. It wasn't even it had nothing to do with a video.
He said,
just as a former basketball player, he asked, what's the best basketball movie? And it got everybody kind of hot and bothered in a lather.
Mm-hmm.
Saw a lot of folks picking some fairly non-traditional things, which was...
There are so many options, and I think that basketball is probably the most versatile of sports in the sports genre of movies. Do you agree or disagree?
I think there are just as many baseball movies as there are basketball movies.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Many baseball movies. But a lot of the baseball movies that are out there, they're based in, like, a lot of them are kind of rooted in history.
Yeah, they're like some biopic of Babe Ruth or something like
that. Usually, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it is.
Right.
I mean, it's usually about something that had some sort of historical, you know, value to it or whatnot outside of, like, the three major league movies that they made.
Right. And then, like, the late aughts happened and Moneyball, and everybody said, like, baseball's so hot right now, just like Hansel, even though it wasn't made
trouble,
a ton of baseball movies.
Trouble with a Curve.
Not that bad.
You had Bull Durham.
Never seen
Angels
it.
In the Outfield.
Never seen it.
It was a Disney movie.
I know.
And Matthew McConaughey in it.
I know. That was before. Dallas Buyers Club, Paul. We all know that there was a different level of respect.
Dallas Buyers Club was such a boring movie.
And it was definitely before How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, which is really when he took the step.
With Sarah Jessica Parker?
No. Get out of the studio! How dare you disrespect Kate Hudson like that?
Wasn't that failure?
There was a basketball. They were at a Knicks game in that. And that should be technically part of the. That should be included in the best basketball movie of all time, because there's basketball several times.
Right. So that's the thing. So a lot of folks, and everyone's kind of percolating
right now about what
they thought about what the best basketball movie. Is it one that's centered around basketball,
mm-mm,
or is it one that happened to have basketball in it? So, for example, if you were to say the best basketball movie that just kind of happened to have basketball in it,
sure.
Coming to America.
Never seen that one.
Eddie Murphy, Arsenio Hall, James Earl Jones.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Samuel Jackson played like a thief in that movie.
How many minutes of basketball is in that movie?
About a minute.
I mean, it counts.
They're at Madison Square Garden, and they have dialogue, and he talks about what kind of games he plays in Africa, and he says, yeah, we play football. He goes, oh, yeah, soccer.
Hmm.
And that's about it. And it's literally a halftime of a St. John's basketball game. That's it.
I mean, like, John Tucker Must Die is pretty high on my list.
But not centered around basketball.
It kind of is. It's kind of the main theme of John Tucker. That's his big. That's what every teen movie is. Is like the you always have the hot guy who's an athlete and it's centered around his story, even though the story isn't about him. Shocking. That is blow your world right up.
What,
crazy.
You've described every teen movie from the year 2000.
But especially John Tucker Must Die. You have the tattoo. Why are you talking like this? You had this higher on the list. Why don't you agree with me on the
John
air?
Tucker? No.
Jesse Metcalf. Come on.
No.
Desperate Housewives.
No, I'm aware of Desperate Housewives, the television show. Yes,
great film. But yeah, I don't think it needs to be centered around basketball. But I think it puts you into a different category.
Sure.
It's like singles and doubles tennis. You both get championships, but they're different trophies.
Right. There's many movies that have basketball in it.
Like Luck of the Irish, a Disney movie centered around basketball.
17 again, yeah, with Zac Efron and Matthew Perry.
Also could be considered.
But there was basketball in that one. I mean, there were so many basketball scenes in that movie, but it wasn't about basketball. So if I walked down the street and said, name your best basketball movie, I would guarantee you that one out of 1,000 would go, oh, yeah, 17. You know what? High School Musical was fantastic.
That's technically...
there's basketball throughout the entire movie.
I have four films that I've listed here that I cannot really rank in any particular order.
Okay.
That are more than centered around basketball.
Okay.
That I would like to be considered.
Sure. Lay them on me.
First of all, Like Mike.
Like Mike?
Like Mike was one of my favorite movies growing up with Bow Wow. He gets the shoes.
He gets the shoes, right.
The shoes make him magically good at basketball. He plays for the LA Knights. It's all weird. Like, it's a script that Disney ran back a few times in different sports. That's up there. Air Bud. Obviously.
Air Bud.
Obviously.
That was the, so that's the only one that I would consider, like, of that entire series of movies that was actually legitimate as an actual,
take
like,
that back.
Movie. No.
Take
no,
it
no.
back.
Air Bud. That's it. That's it. It was literally called Air
How
Bud.
How dare you?
Yes, that was
you,
it. Air
you
Bud.
Buzzer him. Absolutely.
Air Bud.
You have horrible takes
it.
In this segment.
That
awful.
Was it. That was it.
Number three. Love and Basketball. One of the best romantic
Omar Epps,
comedies
Sanaa
of
Lathan.
All time.
That was a good movie. I like that movie.
Such a good movie.
I don't know if it's a top four for me, but it was a good movie.
Take it back again.
It was a good movie. I said it was a good movie.
Space Jam.
Yeah.
What do you mean, yeah?
Yeah.
It's Space Jam.
It was fine. It was fine. My kid was obsessed with Space Jam for a while. We watched it.
Hey, kids,
on the rewatch. On the rewatch, it's okay. It's not a great film.
What, are you critically analyzing Space Jam? I mean, come on. It's Looney Tunes of all, but it's up there for, like, greatest film of all time. You can't say it's not in the conversation. We're not saying how many are going to be selected.
I'm
going to put it up for nomination.
I'm not saying Academy Award-winning basketball movies. That's not what I'm saying.
Well, all four of these would win. Correct. Sure. Come on. All right, so what do you have? What kind of films are you thinking of?
If I had to pick four. If you're going to make me pick four.
Well, there are four quarters to a basketball court, aren't they?
Yeah, there are.
Look at us.
There are.
I'm
it's pretty
expert.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Hoosiers would be right at the top of that list.
God, that's basic.
Hoosiers, fantastic movie.
I've never seen it.
How basic do you want it to be? It's Hoosiers.
I know.
It's
like, it's the literally the most basic title you could include, but it's okay. It's okay to have basic feelings.
That's a brilliant movie.
That's great. I'm happy
White
for
Men
you.
Can't Jump.
I haven't seen it.
Woody Harrelson, Wesley Snipes.
Very familiar.
Marcus Johnson. Rosie Lopez is in that movie.
Mm. Good for Rosie.
It's literally half of the movie is like about them playing basketball and hustling each other, and the other half is about how Rosie Perez is a gold digger who wants to get on Jeopardy.
And you think that's better than Space Jam? You think that's better than Air Bud? First of all, you're going 0-2.
Can you?
Yeah, it looks like the Dodgers batting lineup right now out here. That's all I got to say.
We're going to Sizzler.
I haven't seen Sizzler.
Come on.
I haven't seen it.
Oh,
this is why these are your basic ones. Like when you Google like basketball movies, these are like in the first five titles that
Teen
you have.
Teen Wolf.
I know that everybody's obsessed with Teen Wolf. I know. I can't.
Teen Wolf.
I can't.
Basketball.
Anything made before the 90s is kind of dead to me, so.
85, that was
yeah,
85.
I know, that's, I know
yeah,
how
Hoosiers,
big of a cult
Hoosiers
following
in the
that
late 80s,
has.
Too. White Man Can't Jump was right around 90, 91.
What, Teen Wolf is so bad that it's good. I love plenty of movies, like, yeah. Like half of these on my list
right.
are those movies.
I got you.
And what's your fourth quarter?
I don't really have a fourth one, it's just okay. Glory Road was really good.
Glory Road is very good. I liked Glory Road a lot as
you
well.
You just like for Josh Lucas, right?
No, I don't just watch the movies for the men. Unlike you, I just like, I like Disney's the way that they'll go and they'll take it with angle and they'll expose you to an actual historical context. Granted, I'm sure it's way more watered down than what it actually was and what and everything. But I've always really enjoyed their sport. Whenever Disney does like a live action sports movie, most of them, especially Luck of the Irish or, you know, Double Teamed also
Double
Disney original film.
Yeah. Sounds like a Disney film.
Mm-hmm. Or the second to last episode of season one of The Office, the basketball episode.
Yeah, okay,
one of the greatest of all time.
Best basketball movie.
Lots
it
of
says
athleticism
in my
on display,
it's on my
Paul.
Sheet. It says best basketball movie.
Mm, okay. Interesting.
Coming up next, Golfing with Chuck.
You found the Playmakers on CBS Sports Radio 1140.
It's pretty. It's so pretty.
Go with Sizzler. We go with Sizzler.
White Man Can't Jump.
You had so many options to go with quotes there, and that's the one. We went to the Sizzler quote. Come on.
I met the man who, like, actually founded Sizzler.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like a year ago.
On an airplane or something?
He was here in the building.
Really?
Yeah. He was here in the building.
Did he bring a hot plate with him?
It was so weird. I was like telling him, like, I love your buffet.
I don't like the Sizzler plates. They're loud.
Oh, gotcha. I know you're talking about.
Yeah.
I know you're talking about. Yeah.
I don't like them.
In The Athletic, recently, everyone that knows Charles Barkley was asked to tell a story about playing golf with him. Everybody called.
Literally everybody called because it's an experience. Like, he is infamous for, obviously, his trash talk.
Yes.
But especially for his completely broken and disjointed swing, because he got the yips like 20 years ago because he's actually a pretty good golfer. Hits yes. on the range just fine.
Right.
But when he gets out on the course, he can't.
He looks like a little uncorked spring when he swings.
Yeah. And we're not talking, you know, like small potato names here. We're talking like Jerome Bettis, Ahmad Rashad, Wayne Gretzky, like Grant Fuhr, Danny Ainge. Like, these aren't scrubs. No scrubs, TLC.
Wayne Gretzky tells one of the stories about him playing. And this is, Charles is going to play in another match coming up
here. In the match
with Steph Curry and Phil and Peyton coming up apparently the day after Thanksgiving. Gretzky tells the story about how he was using Nike clubs. And he said, "Do you like the clubs?" And he said, "Yeah, one of the other big companies is paying me a lot of money not to use them."
So the only reason why he used Nike clubs is because all the other companies, because of how bad his golf, like everybody when they see him on a golf course, they're like, we need to take a picture. We need to take a video because other than the grip, the stance, the swing and the follow through, everything's fine.
Yeah.
Like that's how you would describe his type of swing.
He just gives away money, apparently.
Right.
That's what everybody says.
And he can't help himself because he's a degenerate. You know this. You know the gambling itch.
I do. Not quite like Charles.
Yeah. Somebody else was talking there. They call Chuck the ATM. They would say it's easier to get money from Chuck than it is getting from the ATM. So much so that one time, somebody basically said, I want to get this new bag, like this new golf bag, super expensive, really nice. And you're like, Charles, buy it for me. He goes, I'm not buying that for you. He goes, well, I'm going to win it off you later. Anyways, guess what? Bought him the bag.
That's just terrible.
That's terrible. That's just terrible.
I played for hours. I can't
love Charles Barkley. He's an American treasure.
Barkley in a golf course.
Oh, I pay so much money. So much money.
Just a shadow. I'll carry the bag, Chuck.
Yeah.
Football at 4 coming up next.
Inside information on your teams, honest opinion, and the biggest names in sports. It's time, Las Vegas, for the Playmakers.
Hour number 2 of the Playmakers. Paul Iander here, Lindsey Brown there.
What is up, my dudes?
Hour ahead of Dodgers baseball, game 5 of the National League Championship Series. Lindsey Brown's favorite pitcher of 2020 will be taking the hill for the Dodgers.
Dusty Tamame and all of the red lettuce that will lead us to victory. Yeah, it's a must-need win, right?
You're damn right I did!
The code red. You gotta get like an alert or something to alert me to just like, Lindsey, shh, for a hot second.
Comes the redness of Dustin May. So he's gonna get the start for the Dodgers, taking on the Braves tonight. Don't care who starts for them. 6:05 first pitch, 5:00. Yeah, because it won't matter. If they can't hit the baseball out of the park or create some runs, which they have struggled with in the last, it's been 15 innings, to be honest.
Yeah.
Outside of Rios' home run last night, the Dodgers will be going home, leaving the bubble, coming back home empty-handed, and we won't get to have the double celebration in Los Angeles.
Right. And you would not be devastated at all.
Nope.
But I'm predicting victory, Paul. My gut says win tonight. And it's usually not wrong.
Sometimes I'll take it. And maybe I'll put some money on it based on your gut.
Maybe you should put some wealth down on that
bad boy.
Maybe
I'll have to do so. So 5:00 pregame, 6:08 first pitch, Dodgers and Braves. ALCS is underway. Game 6, that is in San Diego. Tampa has a 1-run lead on the Cheaters.
On the team that must not be named.
Right. So just remember, just use the emphasis on the first syllable in their nickname and not on the last one. And you'll be just fine.
I'm just going to call them the Houston Voldemorts henceforth. Yeah.
So 1-0 Tampa. They're in the third. This is actually a really slow game. It's 4:00.
What?
They've already played. It's been an hour.
There's a slow baseball game going on right now.
It's been an hour, and they're in this. They've only.
This is why the AL is dead to me, Paul. It's dead.
That's why the AL is dead to you.
It's dead to me.
All right, time for a little football at 4, and it is week 6 of the NFL. Dalvin Cook's out.
Yeah.
Doesn't get any better for the Vikings.
Well, at least they have Alexander Mattison, though. He's a pretty good...
Alexander Mattison, didn't he sign the Declaration of Independence?
Yep, but this one has two T's in his name instead of a D.
But it's not really going to help the Vikings much because
they're Madison.
Awful. Just throw in the jerseys. It's not worth it until 99 is out there anyway.
They're playing the Falcons, though, right? So, oh I mean, this God. Should be kind of a... That's a...
Set your Rokus.
Yeah,
get your DVRs cleared up.
He's got a groin injury.
God.
That's
yeah, that's not ideal. That's not ideal. He's literally one of the only things that makes that offense work. And, you know, they signed him to a big time deal ahead of this season. So hopefully he's all good.
You haven't seen Bull Durham, right?
No, I have not seen it.
So literally Kevin Costner's character goes, I can get us a rain out. And he goes and he twists the sprinklers on the field and he turns them on and he goes, oh, it's a deluge, boys. And so they get a rain out. Literally, this is what Minnesota needs to do.
Yeah.
They need to see if they can get a rain out.
Yeah. I don't want to play Atlanta either, because honestly, like both of the teams need the win so bad and are just so bad themselves that it could get weird really quickly.
And even like, COVID couldn't cancel this stinker.
I know, honestly.
Like, where's the COVID?
You would watch it on Thursday.
Do we have a positive COVID?
If it was on
test?
Thursday, would you set your DVR? Would you have
Thursday?
Like? Would
no.
you no
for Atlanta, Minnesota? Oh my goodness!
Yeah, I that doesn't and that, scream and compelling and rich
and
to
that's
me.
So who wins that one? I mean, let's be honest. Who wins that game? I mean, brand
it's
new
in
coach.
Atlanta,
it's
right?
Raheem Mostert. And
first week on the job, correct?
First week on the job. No, it's in Minnesota.
It's in Minnesota. I'm going to bet on Atlanta then. If I had wealth to bet, which I don't, I would put it on Atlanta because same reasoning why I picked the Houston Texans to win the week after Bill O'Brien got fired. I think there's a gelling, and I think there is let's win one for the new guy in charge. And on the road, it's a little bit easier. Is Julio playing for all those touchdown catches that he usually hauls
it? Well, he's not on the injury report. He's not out, but I'm not sure if they sit him or not.
Yeah. Well, I suspect a little bit more of a challenge for the Minnesota Vikings that probably some people are giving the Falcons credit for. I'll take the Falcons on
really?
The road.
I take the Vikings in that one.
Oh, you do love the purple drink.
At home.
You do love it.
The crazy thing about it is that, you know, while we transition into that, we think that's kind of the garbage game of the week.
Yeah.
We didn't even talk about the Giants and the Washington football team. The Giants are 0-5, and Washington has one win.
They've left my mind. Like, I look at this, and it's like something is blurred out. It's like the eternal sunshine of the spotless mind. Like, I can't look at them. There's a blurred out face.
It's the same thing. I'm like, if you look
at divisional games every week, I swear.
If you look at some of these games that are on tap for Sunday, and I'm not saying you should not watch these games or not bet on them or whatever you want to do, but it's Detroit and Jacksonville. Again, a battle of
compelling and rich.
Battle of one win teams.
Yeah. Ravens, Eagles.
Weren't you hot on Minshew? I mean, are you done with him at this point?
No, I'm not done with him at this point because it's not all of him, and it's not like anybody expected anything from Jacksonville this year. They won their first game.
It's very clear that no one's expecting anything from them or Detroit
Their cupboards are bare. Their cupboards are bare.
Who do you think's on the hotter seat there right now? Do you think Stafford or Minshew?
Oh, wow. Now that's a question. Because
no one's winning. They're not winning.
Well, I think Matthew Stafford is the only thing that endures about the Lions because they just there's no winning ways. I think Matt Patricia is probably going to get let go at some point this season, if not at the end of it.
Minshew's got better numbers, too.
Right. And that's what the thing is about Gardner and that team is that so many people were kind of just saying, well, they're basically going to tank for Trevor. And they're or just tank for a quarterback, and Minshew's not worth anything because he's a later round pick. But I honestly think that he's a perfect type of personality and kind of brand for that team. And so I'm a lot more in on Gardner Minshew. I guess my question is, how many more years does Stafford have on his deal? Because if I'm Matthew Stafford, at some point, do you say, get me the hell out of here? Because it's wasted talent. He has one of the best arms in football or has. And he's just one of those guys that unfortunately got drafted by that team and is sticking there. That's why Calvin Johnson retired early, right? Yeah. And he signed a big-time deal. But, like, if you're seeing Tom Brady leave, if you're seeing Philip Rivers, all these guys that were like, there's no way we would ever see him in another jersey. Wouldn't you, now that you do...
Stafford's not going anywhere.
Wouldn't you get a little curious?
He's not going anywhere.
How many years?
He's in the middle of a five-year, $135 million contract.
Right, which the Lions could at any point say, see you later. Because that's what the NFL can do.
They gave him 60 up front.
I don't think that's what they would do, but.
They gave him 60 up front, and the cap hit is only 22 this year.
And it's what? He's 34?
He's 32 years old. 32. Next year, it's nearly $35 million.
That guy was willing to risk. He had a broken back last year. He's like, put me out there. Like.
He can out. He can actually get out. They can actually get out of the contract.
Yeah, I would want to be out. I would want to go see if there's a different greener grass somewhere, because we know that it's not going to grow in Detroit. We know it's not happening. It's certainly not happening under Matt Patricia. And we're going to bring Adrian Peterson in.
Probably one of the better quarterbacks to play in this league who will probably never, ever sniff a championship.
He's made the playoffs maybe once. I think they have one playoff win. One.
That's sad.
Jim Schwartz era. Like, that was like 8 years ago. Germany didn't shake hands, him and Harbaugh. I was just, oh my God, the hullabaloo.
Yeah, it was a little strange. Denver, New England's going to go off, apparently, even though with some positives with the Patriots. That's one of the early games. The interesting game is, and should we be talking more about the fact that it's Baker and Ben squaring off as opposed to Aaron and Tom?
Yeah, everybody's going towards that Packer-Buccaneers matchup, but I'm definitely intrigued by the Browns and the Steelers, because we know how pretty decent the Steelers' defense is and the steps that the Browns have taken. OBJ is out, left practice yesterday.
He's been sitting for a while.
Yeah, we talked to Nate about that yesterday, Nate Lundy. I have no faith in the Steelers offense. Like, I do not like Ben Roethlisberger one bit, and Juju really hasn't done very much. I don't think he's even option A this year right now.
No, Chase Claypool is right now.
Yeah,
Claypool,
he was anointed quickly.
The kid out of the CFL.
Right.
Who's like literally Canada's like Steve Nash. They've turned him into this monster football hero in Canada.
Right. I would say that the Browns are favored talent-wise, but they're also the Browns and they're playing at Heinz. So
yes,
it is in Pittsburgh. But there's no steel curtain. There's no fans there. I don't think Batman, they're shooting there this weekend either.
It's only three and a half. It's a 3.5 Steelers by 3.5 right now.
So the people that set the lines are kind of feeling my apprehension as well. Where do you lean?
A little bit. I really like the Browns in this game.
Yeah.
I really do. And it's
keep rolling.
The Steelers have played too many close games against teams that don't matter.
Yeah.
And the Browns are taking it to the teams that do. I mean, outside of that Baltimore stinker in round one, where everybody literally was like, oh, Baker Mayfield needs to be run out of town and it's over.
But if Odell's out, I don't think that swings it in Pittsburgh's favor, but it makes it really a lot tougher for the Browns, because just like how we talk about Henry Ruggs or anybody else, it's just another option that they have to pay attention to, and there's the next man up, but not everybody can do the job to the level that Odell is doing or has that type of flash. So I lean Browns as well.
Yeah, I do like that one.
Mm-hmm.
Indianapolis, Cincinnati, there's a lot of thought right now, and the Chargers are on a bye week this week, that Joe Burrow wasn't the best quarterback taken in the draft.
Oh my God.
That it was actually Justin Herbert.
You're going to get your tires slashed out here, man. I don't know.
Burrow's got the same kind of, he's no offensive line. That's his issue.
The Bengals have way less than the Chargers do. Way less. And granted, the Chargers have lost a lot this year talent-wise to injury, but they have way more. That's a completely different kind of, like, organization. And trust me, I know. That organization is dysfunctional. They wouldn't be in LA without it. So, but I think I don't discount that Herbie is a very, like, very good quarterback. I like what I see from him, especially how early and how, like, apprehensive they seemed about him in Hard Knocks this year. I think he's taken a huge step. But, like, Joe Burrow, I think, has played well, if not exceeded expectations so far, if that was even possible this year.
Yeah, he's leading losers. They're not lovable losers.
Right, and they're 1-3-1. So it's not like the Chargers are a better team. What do you think?
Well, again,
you're biased.
Well, no, I do have a little recency bias when it comes to Herbert. But when you look at, he's also had to deal with that, a running back by committee with Eckler out too.
Mm-hmm.
He's led them. I mean, if the defense, and that's the weird part, if the Chargers defense would actually kind of stand up every once in a while, that's not a 1-4 team.
Yeah.
They're not. They've lost every game by less than 7 points. I'm like, that's just heartbreak after heartbreak after heartbreak after heartbreak.
I feel like Herbert has more time to make reads and decisions too. And I think he's thrown some better balls and some better throws. And maybe Burrow's just on the run all the time, or his internal clock is so sped up because, like you said, they have nothing.
No, there's no. I mean,
you're going first read and off pure athleticism most of the time. And that's just the way that's the fire that you were cast into. And that's the fire that Herbie was cast into. It's just, I think they're both doing great. I think they're both exceeding expectations, especially as rookie quarterbacks in a league, and especially in the unprecedented times.
Yeah, the weird part about, the idea of Cincinnati, which AJ Green sticking around, and he said, do I want to be traded? No, I need to handle my frustration about not being involved in the offense much more.
Because there were rumors on the field
earlier this week that he wasn't kind of crazy about, kind of the pass selection, what was going on. I'm like, dude, it's a rookie quarterback, but, the system is different. And to be honest, I'm not saying that he's Julio Jones territory, but at this point, while AJ Green still has value, the Bengals need to deal him for talent.
100%.
Because something for
he's
him
below
now.
Julio Jones. Right.
And he's not going to come. He's not coming back next year.
No,
he's not.
No. And you have to see if you can get like a pick or a body in there, something for him. I wholeheartedly agree. And there's tons of teams that are dealing with it. Why don't we call up the San Francisco 49ers? Somebody, they need hands, don't they?
Yeah, they could use some hands.
And so I wholeheartedly agree. AJ Green has been such a disappointment, and I'm just disenchanted with him a lot. I know injuries aren't his fault for the most part, but like, for already voicing frustration, like you said, rookie quarterback, brand new, everything. I'm like, just keep yourself to yourself. You got to worry about you.
Yep.
It's more than enough to keep you busy.
I'm concerned about this Houston-Tennessee game. This could be a trap game.
For who? For the Titans?
For Tennessee, because they're coming off a short week. Houston's, kind of figured the bugs out real quick once O'Brien left.
Right. And the adrenaline that probably wore off the fact that the Titans played on Tuesday, not just late week Monday, but Tuesday, and had a couple of weeks prior off. Like, really easy to get amped up, and especially against Buffalo. Now you're playing a much worse team.
Yeah.
A game that is more of a given. So yeah, I would say it's definitely a trap game, but I don't know. I don't like betting against Derrick Henry at this point.
Sure. And the Texans did beat Jacksonville in the rebound game.
Yeah.
So it was Jacksonville.
It was Jacksonville. But you never know. I mean, it only takes one win and one like good feeling to start chugging along. And maybe that's something they can build on top of. And they still have Deshaun Watson. He's a pretty damn good quarterback. And I think that's a better quarterback than Ryan Tannehill, even though everybody's ready to say he's a superstar.
Tannehill's a game manager.
He's a game manager.
Miami and the Jets also on Sunday. Do I really want to talk about Miami and the Jets? No, not really.
I don't even want to talk about Benny.
Not really.
No.
Okay, we'll move on from that one.
Thank you.
Carolina's Chicago. This is another weird one for me.
Well, we do have a new budding like obsession with the Carolina Panthers, so I'm more intrigued with this game, especially that they're at home. And I think everybody is just basically waiting for the Bears to fall flat on their face. Like, everybody in America, like, I think they're the biggest team that everybody has their eye on, complete paper tiger.
Is this the one? This is the one game?
Yeah.
Because they have it's a middling defense.
Yep.
It is. I mean, it's a playmaking defense, but it's a middling defense.
And Foles hasn't looked as comfortable or as in command as he did when he came in spot play for Trubisky, because that's what Nick Foles.
Right.
But that's what I mean. Having a full week of prep, having the Panthers, who are really, I think, speaking of a team that's building on top of, small victories and little things. And I'm, how I feel about Teddy Bridgewater. So I'm going to lean Panthers on this, and hopefully the Bears start falling back to their spot where they're usually at.
Watch the Bears come out and
run
them out of the building.
Right.
Two other games on Sunday, Linz. Green Bay, Tampa, which we did not talk about.
Yeah.
This is the one that's getting the marquee attention. It's the afternoon game. But, in terms of matchups, it's a good game.
I go Green Bay.
Yeah, I do too.
I go Green Bay.
That's hard for you to say.
Tell you and everybody, all of our millions of listeners right now, Paul. I try to check my bias at the door as much as I can. I like to make fun of it. Like, I do not like Aaron Rodgers. I don't like him, but I respect the fact that he's having a hell of a season, especially after drafting Jordan Love, after having the last few years basically be pedestrian, like the second year with their new head coach, who's younger than he is. It seems like he's bought into that system. And when he buys in, the team follows. And that's the Green Bay Packers. They have houses that, one story houses right across the street from Lambeau. You got to get the dinner reservation at that fanciest place in town, Red Lobster.
Love Red Lobster cheese.
Huge fan. I have some in my cupboard at my place. We can make them at home. And I just, the Buccaneers, I don't, again, I don't think they're as good. And I wasn't one of those people who was on that train of like, yeah, all this accumulation of talent. Right. Sometimes there's just too much talent for everything to click. And I don't like what I'm seeing from Tom. Not that I have a problem with him yelling at people, but like, I don't think they're rolling yet.
He's starting to look like
an old guy.
He's starting to look like an old guy. He is.
Another time comes for us all,
you're
Paul.
You're not wrong in that aspect. Arian's system is different. Mm-hmm. And while he was able to give Carson Palmer a Pro Bowl year, Carson Palmer is also 10 years his junior.
And Carson Palmer was a lot more of a mobile quarterback. I think Tom is just kind of, he's one of the last of the old pocket passers. And the great thing is, and what's enabled him to play as long as he has, is the upstairs, his mind, his ability to make reads. But right now his body, and he's not making the throws as well as he probably could. And just the league itself has changed so much. A lot of pressure.
His numbers aren't bad. Just
expect more.
It's not the same. Tampa's winning. I mean, they're still 3-2. Yep. I can't complain about that.
But you expect more from that.
Green Bay should be able to kind of pick them apart.
Mm-hmm.
They really should.
Yeah, they didn't even need Davante Adams last week.
No, they did not. The last game is the Sunday night game on Sunday. Sunday night game on Sunday, Paul. The Rams and the 49ers. 49ers will have Garoppolo back.
The Lord is playing?
Well, he was benched in the second half of that game last week against Miami.
There's good reason. He didn't look very good.
And then the Rams, who are kind of stuck in the shadow of Seattle, but above the play of Arizona and San Francisco.
Unmentionable at 4-1.
Right. Where they, they unload Gurley and everyone kind of like, we know what's going on with Gurley.
One-dimensional offense.
Right. And what happens is they find themselves in a more multiple option system of craziness.
So it's like, has Goff taken a step? Or is he just making better decisions and he has options to dump off to guys?
I don't know. Here's the issue with the Rams right now.
Mm-hmm.
They've swept the NFC East. They beat all four teams in the NFC East. All four teams.
Yeah.
The one loss they had was they were trying to come from behind against Buffalo, and Buffalo just ended up outscoring them in that one.
No wonder the hype train doesn't want to bring them any gifts.
Yeah, there's a reason why everyone kind of goes, well, what about the Rams? And you're like, well, they beat up the NFC East. Every team. They beat every team in the NFC East.
Well,
there's nothing there. And the 49ers kind of just lost to bad teams.
That's so weird how they're having their first divisional game 6 weeks in. Like they, like you said, they literally played the entire NFC East and Buffalo. And then you have San Francisco, Chicago, Miami. And then towards the back half of their season, you're like, whole buddy. Seattle, Tampa Bay, San Francisco, Arizona, New England.
Right, they finish rough.
Yeah.
The Rams are a rough fit.
And so they're doing their job. They're holding serve.
Right.
Which
the games you need to win.
Is not a given. Was not a given for them the last couple of years since they made the Super Bowl. And, they're always just such an enigma for me, the Rams. And it usually centers around Goff, but like, if you haven't had to play anybody, as long as you're not making the mistakes, like that's all you can ask for. So until they start beating some people, like some actual teams that have some teeth to them, like then get back to me. But right.
But they have the superstars on defense that allows that, that kind of play where I'm just going to run Aaron Donald against you and someone's going to be free.
Right.
And then all I got to do is lock down your number one with Ramsey and someone else will have to beat me.
And everybody else that plays you knows that both of those guys are on the team, especially the quarterback. So there's already going to be a little bit of jumpiness being like, there's Aaron Donald coming. You better run. And if you want to, you better throw, you better be sure, because guess what? Jalen might go up and get it. Yeah, you're absolutely correct. Maybe that's the reason why they're a defense first type of team, and usually we don't start paying attention to those towards the playoffs. That's usually when we're like, oh, look at this
early on here. Yeah, in terms of points allowed, they're. I mean, again, it's the NFC East, so I'm like, ugh.
And the NFC West is weird this year.
Right, 49ers, Bears, Dolphins, and the next three for the Rams. They could be 7-1 at the midway point.
They could be like the most nondescript 7-1.
Yeah, and then they play the Seahawks after a bye, and that begins the actual stretch of games they need to be worried about.
And the worship of Sean McVay will restart. My God,
Mr. Intensity.
His coaching tree is just so legendary. Right. It's like 35.
And another one of those guys that lives in the all-white house.
Correct.
I hate the White House.
I do, too.
Folks, if you're out there, there are other colors in the palette.
Yeah.
White is not actually a color.
You can start with a couch, because that's usually where everybody else starts.
Oh, my goodness.
Yep.
Yeah. Purple couch? Anything.
I love... If somebody sends me a purple couch, first of all, I will sleep on it.
I have a red toaster.
Congratulations.
Yeah. I have a red toaster.
Did you name it?
Nope. It's just a red toaster. It toasts things.
It's like the great toaster adventure, the great adventures of the toasters. Like
the brave little
that one,
toaster.
When they go to Mars, that was a great film. Again, one that should have been considered for the Academy Awards. Come on. Come on, people mail in the ballots.
Right, if you're under
the other ballots. Do the other ballots as well.
All right, there's your football on four, rounding out the NFL schedule. And yes, Nick Saban has tested negative for the COVID. He might actually get to coach tomorrow. We shall see as number three, Georgia, takes on number two, Alabama. Here on CBS Sports Radio 1140, coming up tomorrow morning, we do have college football for you after Saturday Sports Beat with Tony Cordasco from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock. We'll have number 13 Miami taking on Pittsburgh. That is at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. And in the NFL on Sunday morning, we will have the Baltimore Ravens taking on the Philadelphia Eagles. That is at 10 o'clock on Sunday. And we also have Monday Night Football too, but we'll get to that on Monday.
Yeah. Plethora of the footy football.
Yes, more than enough to go around. All right, coming up next, the free agent winners and losers in the NHL.
You found the Playmakers on CBS Sports Radio 1140.
A little bounce in your step for a Friday. Paul and Lindsay with you.
Isn't this from Ocean's like 11 or 12? Isn't this what this song is from?
It's from a beer commercial.
It's from a beer commercial. Yes. I mean, it can be used for multiple mediums, but I feel like this is associated with an Ocean's.
It's the Jays.
Yeah. Maybe I just got Clooney on the mind. I don't know. I don't know why.
You've been thinking about George Clooney quite a bit?
Weirdly enough, because Joe Thornton signed today, you know, the once captain of the San Jose Sharks. He signed with the Toronto Maple Leafs because that's what's going to put him over the edge, Paul, to success.
I'm used to playing home.
But.
That's all.
I looked up some fun facts about the year of 1990. Because that is the year that Joe was taken first overall by the Boston Bruins.
Good year.
Yeah. Well, it's also the year that George Clooney, I think he's won it multiple times, but won Sexiest Man by People Magazine. So
there
that's
you
why
go.
I got Clooney on the brain.
I was
it all
second
makes
that year.
Sense. You were second?
I was second that year.
People forgot to mail in their ballots. Do that.
Remember, nobody remembers who the runner-up is or who finishes in fourth place at the Olympics.
Woo!
But everybody remembers who finishes first.
That's true. If you're not first, you're last, Ricky.
It's the worst place to finish if you're in the Olympics. Fourth and second. Because it means all that hard work almost paid off.
Yeah. Also, that happened in 1997 when Joe Thornton was drafted. My Heart Will Go On, one of the greatest tracks of all time. Literally won an Academy Award.
Oh, Titanic.
Yep. That was recorded. The first Harry Potter book, Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone, was published. All these things happened in the same year.
Nobody realized that book was going to be so popular.
I remember reading that book in first grade with the class.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I have a hard copy at my house of Harry Potter.
Yeah. So like an OG one?
Yeah.
Yeah, like Philosopher's Stone?
Yeah,
like from across
Stone.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah, old school.
Look at you,
old
collector.
School Harry Potter. No, I'm not a collector, but I just thought it was a cool book to hang on to.
What's your house? Where did the sorting hat place you?
The sorting hat?
Yeah, where
the Harry
sorted.
Potter's?
Well, I don't know. You said you own an OG Philosopher's Stone.
Slytherin.
Really?
Yep.
Really?
Yep.
Interesting.
Yeah, I was almost Hufflepuff, and then
I mean, you learn something
back.
New every day, but now this is a whole different world, Paul.
Now
I'm questioning a lot
action.
Of my decisions.
Harry Potter?
Yeah. I want the thing that turns back time that Hermione has in the third
one. The weirdest sport.
What? Quidditch would be so badass to actually play.
There was a thing moving through social media not too long ago. We're supposed to be talking about hockey here, but
as we've
rolled down the book land, there was an interesting little thing about describe your favorite. It was a friend of mine. She goes, describe your favorite movie in the most boring way possible.
Oh, I love this prompt.
Yeah. And there was a bunch of stuff like, you know, guy takes day off from school.
Sure.
Brings friends to
Ferris.
Parade. Brings friends to parade.
Fair enough.
Harry Potter I had was, solitary child attends school with know-it-all girl and future brother-in-law.
Yeah. It's weird how all of those paths connected the way that they did, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Ron Weasley.
Right. It was, what was it, Apollo 13? Bad thing happens in space. They come home.
That's true with Quidditch as well.
Quidditch?
Yeah. If you fall off the broom, you go down to the ground.
Well, yeah, but they could, like, cast the spells and stuff.
They can figure things out.
Leviosa something.
Leviosa Wingardium Leviosa Expelliarmus.
Right, so you would never fall
to...
You would never fall to, like, crash upon the earth.
Well, you're a Slytherin, and you'd be wishing that upon people.
If you fell off the broom.
You and Draco would have been huge.
My house smoked people in the Quidditch.
See, my house... of Ravenclaw, We're just here to survey and keep track of everything for everyone because everybody's too busy.
The stoners, the stoners of the Harry Potter universe. We're just here to watch.
Well, if the Quidditch broom fits.
Right. What do you want to do? Right? I don't know. What should we do? Should we go to class?
Are you Nimbus 2000 or a Firebolt type of guy?
Yeah, I have no clue.
Okay, so you aren't as diehard of a fan.
Oh, gotcha. That's the brooms.
Correct.
It's the brooms.
It's like are you a Nike or Adidas guy?
No, I'm a Nike guy.
Okay, so you're probably a Nimbus 2000. Basic.
Right.
Terrible.
Oliver Wood is super disappointed in you. Super disappointed.
Listen, Oliver Wood.
I was the captain of the Gryffindor, obviously. The team, the Quidditch team.
So you were actually scouting.
You own the Philosopher's Stone.
You were actually scouting other Quidditch teams.
There's a reason why Goblet of Fire was my favorite, is because that was the one that resembled the Olympics enough and one that had all the sports around it.
Oh, that's right. That was the weird one, right? Where they had like...
They had a mermaid fit.
That's right. They had to like save like them because they
dragons.
Were kidnapped or something.
Yeah, they're in the maze, and you know Robert Pattinson showed up for a while before Twilight became a thing. Cedric, R.I.P. Too soon. You know, hockey. How about them Golden Knights?
Well, in terms of free agency, we've kind of wrapped things up outside of today's amazing signing of Joe Thornton in Toronto.
Doesn't make any sense to me.
He wants to go home and play.
Yeah.
He just wants to go home and play, which means he might play in that Canadian league that Bill Foley was talking about the other day.
Oh, the division.
The Canadian division.
We'll never
see him again.
I mean, he's a Shark, so, I mean.
Well, he was a Shark.
Is there anybody, like, oh, darn it. Like, that's what I get. I get you want to bring some leadership into that room because, trust me, they need it. But, like, the guy had 31 points, was minus 19 last year, like. It's Joe Thornton, but he's also old as hell. I don't know how much he brings to that roster because that's a run and gun type of offense of the Toronto Maple Leafs. But like
sure.
I said, they need leadership in that room. But then again, he was the captain of the Sharks. He had a C, and then one year he didn't have the C anymore. So that's happened to other people.
Yeah,
but I'm just saying, I don't know. The Leafs. I hate anything good to the Leafs. I don't want it. I'm like, I am so bored with the Leafs.
Yeah, I don't know.
I hate the Leafs.
You roll them out there at all for anything.
That's why.
So the Knights make their deals, signing Pietrangelo, which, you know, shocker.
That was like four days ago.
I know it feels like forever and a day ago, but that was Monday.
Mm-hmm.
That was Monday. And we've all stopped talking about Alex.
Yep.
Who's wearing number 7. Who literally just vapor. It's like, all right, we signed him. All right, thanks for coming.
Yep. Well, what is there else to talk about? Like, the team's pretty much set because they're at $0 with the salary cap right now. Like, we're just trying to get to training camp and allow Kelly McCrimmon to get get the dollars off where he needs to.
Well, they've allowed the facilities are supposed to open yesterday. Like, teams were allowed to go back in the facilities yesterday if they were still in their hometowns and start to skate again, depending on when things resume, which is like the big question mark as all this free agency gets done, is when do we actually go back and play counting games?
Because Foley also said February 1st, but we've heard from like Gare Bear and a lot of other NHL brass that they were talking about January, but nothing's been decided.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a weird abyss to be in.
Everybody thought that it was supposed to be about goaltending, but the big splashes were done in the weirdest spots where, again, Alex comes here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Petro comes here. Should we just call him Petro at this point? That was the nickname given to him.
Yep.
I feel weird calling him Alex.
Okay. Yeah. If you want to informalize it a little bit, that's fine.
It does.
I support you in that.
All right. Because we have Stoner and Petro, and it was Schmitty for a while. And
yep.
No more
you have to do is add an IE or a Y to end every name, and you already got the hockey nickname.
Right. No, I get it.
Palsy. You are.
Yeah, no, I understand that. Yeah. I understand that. The Buffalo Sabres getting Taylor Hall.
Yeah. I mean, it's a win for the fact that Taylor Hall.
Cody Eakin, too.
Well, yeah, and Cody Eakin. Especially because they got Cody Eakin, because I thought he would re-sign with Winnipeg because, you know, that's the hometown. But Winnipeg clearly doesn't have enough money or didn't want to keep him around. But Buffalo, I'm like, I get it. It's a big deal to bring in Taylor Hall for a year because it's Buffalo mainly. Like, oh, my God, you want to come here? Like, what is happening? And Taylor Hall's never played with a center like Jack Eichel. He's never had somebody like that to play with. And I think it's going to be a really interesting partnership between those two, because if they vibe really well together, like you could, if he gets a bunch of points, because remember, he won an MVP with the New Jersey Devils.
Right.
With the Devils, who are awful. And we're that was the year that they made the playoffs, but that was a few years ago. But just think, if he gets some good feelings, he has a little bit of a line, or at least a psychological kind of connection with Eichel. Like, who says that he wouldn't resign there? And I like Taylor Hall just saying, I'm going to bet on myself and enter free agency again next year because everything's too weird. So it's a win, but it's... They have to see how it percolates, essentially.
Yeah, sure. I get that. Mm-hmm. When we talk about the goalies, it clearly the steal was Markstrom.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure if it was a steal, but clearly Calgary thought that that's the biggest place where they needed help. They did play in the bubble, and they did make a run in the playoffs. They have the talent that's in place there.
They do. They've been...
Did they step over Vancouver just based on the fact Vancouver sat so long and all they really got out of it was Schmidt and Holtby?
Well, you know, when I texted you a few days ago when, like, free agency was kind of unfolding, and based off of the exodus of the depth for the Vancouver Canucks, like, I think they're going to take a step back next year. They definitely helped that a little bit by bringing Nate Schmidt in there and having that trade being made, but I think that the Calgary Flames have taken a step, but let's not forget that they won the division, you know, last year. They're always so hot and cold because you're like, well, is Johnny Gaudreau going to be a superstar in this league? Is he really going to take a step? Because it seems like every 5 weeks there's a rumor mill saying that he's not happy or he left the ice to go pee. And I was like, he's getting traded. That's not a good place to be. But I'm a huge fan of Matthew Tkachuk and his leadership style, although he does tend to color outside the lines once in a while. But I like what the Flames are doing. I really like Markstrom as a fit there. And so while they overpaid for him a little bit because he was the top goalie on the market at that point.
Right, absolutely.
And they were in a bidding war with Edmonton and Vancouver, technically, even though they had already decided we're going to go with Holtby with a shorter-term option with a lower dollar amount and roll with him and Thatcher Demko. But yeah, I think the Flames are definitely on the column for me. That was like, you improved your team. So a winner.
When you look at the teams that didn't really do anything... It feels like Arizona just is folding up shop.
Well, they kind of are, because remember those internal caps we were talking about that were leading to the gridlock of the market? Because some teams are, we're not spending past a certain amount that is only known to us because we're just different with budgets. We know how tough money is when it comes to Arizona, let alone just, first of all, having enough of it
and
paying the bills.
Yeah, they were bumping up against the cap all season long.
It was a few weeks ago that they hadn't paid out some of the players yet. And so... I'm not shocked that they're one of those teams that is definitely one of those internal cap teams, so much so that they were considering, or at least the rumor mill was churning out, that they were maybe considering trading Darcy Kemper to get some of his money off the books. They're one, their best goaltender. And so, and you send Taylor, you trade for Taylor Hall, you send a first round pick, and he leaves for a 1 year deal at $8 million, which he 100% could have signed in Arizona. So something, he either didn't like it, something happened, or it was just Arizona and he wanted a different opportunity. But they met with him several times before he entered free agency and they weren't able to get it done. And so that says something, or it's a continued message on Arizona. Even though they brought Phil Kessel in last year, they were trying to get a bunch of talent. Like 10 years ago, that's a hell of a team, because half of those players were either on the Rangers squad that made the cup run, or and a bunch of like Derek Stepan, you have like Alex Goligoski. But it's just their young guys haven't quite hit and haven't found the consistency yet to make them a legitimate contender in this division and in this league.
Do you think if Chicago managed to somehow amazingly get past the Knights in their round, that they would have tried to keep that team together?
I don't know if that was Stan's plan.
Because they got older, and then they just kind of lost anything that they may have had in terms of defense and goaltending.
Those toll roads that they have are getting a little rocky in Chicago, to be totally honest. And I can't blame, you know, Jonathan Toews and you know, Duncan Keith, and like Brent Seabrook is in there, because it's the original four between Toews, Kane, Seabrook, and who am I forgetting? Keith. Seabrook's been hurt and basically junk for the last few years, and he's actually signed longer than all those guys. But Kane and Toews have matching twin contracts, length, dollar amount, everything. And Duncan Keith's making a ton of money because he's won Conn Smythe as a defenseman. He deserves it. But the fact that they didn't re-sign Corey Crawford signals that, and it's more of the, I think, of the environment that we're all in right now in terms of the COVID, that they were already halfway in on a rebuild, and then they got into the playoffs because of an expanded type of playoffs. But I think Stan Bowman, their GM, basically saw the writing on the wall of all this uncertainty, said, hey, let's just expedite this process that we were already starting to go down with. And with Jeremy Colleton, when they brought him in a couple years ago, and they're shipping out all their talent, including Corey Crawford, who won him 2 cups. And I think he was expecting to resign there. I think that a whole team was expecting him to resign there, and they didn't extend it. I think that's rubbed the most important people in that franchise the wrong way. But also, if you want more money, don't sign massive contracts.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the economic reality.
That's the give and the take. Right?
They're smacking everybody in the face knowing that we're moving into a...
Everybody's dealing with a flat cap.
And an expansion year to bet. So everyone's correct. Thinking about that as well. So basically, did the Knights win the free agency offseason? I mean, we're only...
They improved. Yeah, so that's how I look of like winning. I never, which team was the best out of everyone? I'm like, did you improve your team? Did you sell more assets than you brought in? Like where... And I think the Golden Knights were absolutely... You got Robin Leonard.
Yep.
Yeah, Petro. Yeah, you shipped out Nate Schmidt's contract, which allowed you to do the Petro deal, but also enables you to make some other moves in general. And you have a few other lines that are also in the water, but you also missed on the Marc-Andre Fleury, like, highest valuation. And, like, I wouldn't say that they ran a perfect game, but I think that they got better. And that's, like I said, that's how I look at it. But just like for all of these other teams, like I said with Buffalo, like time will tell.
Right.
There are some big time decisions made, and we're not just talking about contract and go like we're going to give you this ton of money. Like there's some smoothing out in this locker room that needs to be done as well. But as we get back into the rhythm, it'll naturally kind of happen. But the organization, the front office needs to do their due diligence. Otherwise, you end up in situations like LA Clippers were, like we were talking about earlier.
Right. Yeah. Accountability and all the green Skittles for sure.
Exactly.
Coming up next, all the strange places people want to play.
You found the Playmakers on CBS Sports Radio 1140.
Paul and Lindsay here with you, wrapping things up on this Friday. Going to get you sent off to Dodgers baseball here in about 5 minutes. First pitch is at 6:08. Pre-game, though, will start at 5 o'clock. This would normally be where our Cheers at 5 segment is, presented by Big Dogs Brewery, because Dogtoberfest is still underway tomorrow. Still an opportunity to buy your sample pack at BigDogsBrews.com. Did you ever play in the street as a kid, Lindsay?
Constantly. Mostly by myself, but constantly.
So did you ever play any team sports in the street?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. When everybody had free time and only child could implement and be socialized, I was 100% ready to go and ready to play whatever.
In my neighborhood, we played baseball, football, and basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Those were the three sports. That was it.
Yeah.
That's what we played in the street. Football always. And it's funny because we always follow the seasons.
Sure.
Which is kind of weird, too. Like,
yep.
Football, we'd be done playing. We'd throw around the Nerf ball. And to get extra points, there were these power lines that we had to kick the ball over.
Oh, yeah. Hit the ball over the power lines. That's a home run. If you get it past this mailbox, that's a ground rule double, the whole bit.
And we were lucky that my buddy had a basketball hoop, too. And so indoors, their garage was always clean, which was fantastic. His dad had a little workshop in there.
That's an underrated thing about houses.
Yeah.
Like, honestly.
Yeah. Clean garage. And so we were able to play basketball inside his garage.
Oh, my gosh.
It was great. And we couldn't play baseball in there, obviously, but we played baseball in the rain. It didn't really matter.
Oh, who cares? Bring on the lightning.
Right.
Smite me.
Those were the three. And, you know, I grew up in a small town for a portion of my life, and
right.
So we played in all kinds of weather.
Oh, yeah, and it was a different time then, too. Well, everybody was still outside when I was growing up. Like, internet was just becoming a thing, but, you know, between the basketball, we had a lot of street hockey. I played tennis against the garage a lot.
Yeah, so we didn't have street hockey.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry. At least you had the other sports. You were a well-rounded individual.
Tennis, you know.
Tennis is great. Yep.
Tossed around the horseshoes and whatnot.
Did you have the thing that was basically Velcro with the ball, but it would stick to it, so you would, like, catch it, and it would Velcro to the thing?
Oh, I remember those things. Yeah, it was, like, the paddle ball.
Yeah. Bunch of weird games. You just, like, pick out whatever you found in the garage. It's like, let's just hit this.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had beam outs. I don't know if you remember
beam outs.
You had beam outs. So in baseball, because we only had like 3-on-3.
Oh,
in a lot
yeah,
of cases.
You could hit someone.
You hit
100%.
Somebody. If you didn't catch it, you never struck them out because you couldn't throw a quote unquote fastball. So everything was always in play.
Yep.
So, you know, you hit a ball and you'd always try to catch them on the beam out,
mm-hmm.
you know, unless it was hit to the base or hit in the air.
Yep.
You know, and then we had 9-run rules and things like that.
Yep.
That was always fun.
I love that. Good throwback.
Conor McGregor wants to. Again, we talk about places to play, and UFC's at Fight Island, so they're used to this, but Conor McGregor wants to put the octagon inside Jerry World.
Yeah, he kind of pulled an us and said, Jerry Jones is a close personal friend, and so I'm hoping that I can go fight at his house.
Yeah, I
Like, legit. It's in a tweet.
Having seen a boxing match inside a stadium, I'm not sure this works. Now, they have the big TV there. I mean, granted, a Cowboys stadium.
It certainly works now more than ever, yeah, though.
They have the big, I mean, there's space. I mean, so if you wanted people to show up and you want to make this happen, because, you know, it doesn't look like we're going to have anything regular anytime soon here, mm-hmm. and you want to put people in the stands, it's probably the right place to do it. But it's a weird kind of, it's not like you're going to be able to sit ringside.
No.
You're going to sit, you know, 100 feet, 200 feet, 500 feet away, and you're going to be watching it on TV anyway.
Put it on in the parking lot. Didn't Ali fight outside?
Many times.
So, like, let's fight outside. Like, if there's any time to do this and do it at, like, a completely random spot. Speaking, like you said, Fight Island. Like, be at Jerry World, but just be, like, the parking garage below. Like, who cares? Make it a bit. Like, right. It's Conor McGregor. Like, just you want to have as much conversation around it. And like you said, I get it. If you want to have some people in there, that's probably your best bet. I mean, it's one of the only few places that's allowing people in. So there's that. And then it's the way that how big that is and how it's built. But, like, I would just make this as creative as possible. And for your reason, like you said, you're going to be so far away, and I don't want them up against it because that's clearly opposite of what we want. So why don't we put it in somewhere really creative and really fun and just try to make the best out of a really weird situation?
Like on a bridge.
Yeah, on the London Bridge. Go fight on the London Bridge.
That would be cool.
On the Golden Gate Bridge.
Or like one of those SpaceX floating platforms they land the booster rockets on.
Or there's like a tennis court on top of a really, 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 really tall building in Dubai. It's like the highest court in the world. Like, why don't you put it on something like that? Like, go fight on the top of the Empire State Building.
With a moat around it.
Sure.
And sharks with laser beams.
Crocs. Bring them in.
Something.
Crikey. Yeah.
We'll see. January 23rd. Jerry Jones says he's open to hosting a Conor McGregor fight. We'll see if it happens. All right, Dodgers baseball on the way. I want to thank Mark Bonilla for making things sound nice. She is Lindsey Brown. I'm Paul Leihander, and that's a wrap on the Playmakers for the week.
Sports! I don't have any more breath. It's Friday. I'm done. Bye.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.